Welcome, dear family. Nice to see a number of you online already saying hello. We're going to be translating this presentation into a number of languages. So I'm going to talk reasonably slow so that our translators can keep up with us. Well, we've come to the end of our Sabbath here in Australia. For some of you, it's just beginning. And for some of you, it's partway through the day. We set it the time for our meeting at 9 p.m. in Australia, which makes it in the morning in the Americas, early in the morning, 7 or 8 o'clock. And in Europe, just after lunch in Europe and Africa. And of course, our friends in Asia and the Philippines, it's around 6 o'clock, 6, 7. So thank you so much for joining us. Before I continue, I would like to offer a word of prayer. So those who can, if you can kneel with me, and we will pray. Our dear Father in heaven, what a joy it is to come into your presence. We thank you for the beautiful person that you are. We thank you for calling each of us into this beautiful truth. Each of us were lost deep in sin and darkness and completely confused. But you have called us. You have shown us the beauty of your character. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for revealing the Father to us. Our hearts are more hungry than ever to receive your character. As you said, Father, to Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. To have you, Father, to have your character is all that we want. We don't want anything else. And we know that we can have this, Lord Jesus, through you. You are the only way to the Father. And as we look upon your character, and then we look upon ourselves, our hearts are sad. We see how unlike you that we really are. And so we come to you as children, asking for the bread of life. We come to you to ask you for your Spirit. And we believe and trust that as we are your beloved children, that you will help us, that you will give to us the things that we are asking. I pray for each of my brothers and sisters that are joining through the groups, the individual groups. I pray that your Spirit would be with them. We've come at this time of the Sabbath and the new moon, which has begun here in Australia, because we believe that you are pouring out your Spirit. Guide us now as we share together and draw us deeper and deeper into your love. Let us push out everything from the world, everything from social media, everything that distracts, everything that annoys, that we can focus only on you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last few weeks, I have been working on the audiobook for Escaping the Pentagon of Lies. And it's been a real joy to visit the content of this book again. And just the other day, I was working on chapter 15, which talks about, well, the chapter is entitled Silver Lining on a Dark Cloud. And it really goes back to that moment that really began everything for me back in the year 2000, 2000, 2001. I'd been studying the booklet by Wieland and Short called 10 Great Gospel Truths. And of course, building on the work of A.T. Jones, there is no power but of God. The powers that be all come from Him. And that the life that we have only comes from God. These were the thoughts that were going through my mind. And I was reading the book Steps to Christ, and it's fitting that we should be reading this book because I was meditating on page 26. This is 25 years ago. And of course, it's a phrase that if you've been in this movement for a little bit of time, you'll be familiar with this statement. And on page 26, it says, Christ is the source of every right impulse. And of course, for us who believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God and that the Spirit is truly the Spirit of Jesus, then we know that by the Spirit, Christ Himself dwells in us. I know that recently, Michael McCaffrey recently did a presentation, an excellent presentation on this subject, showing that the Spirit is not a separate third entity, but the Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that Christ is the source of every right impulse. And I've entitled this time of meditation, which is really what it is, I've entitled it, There is None That Seek After God. And 25 years ago, this was such a revolution to my mind as I thought about it. Every desire to do right comes from Jesus. Every expression of love comes from Jesus. Every thought to pray comes from Jesus. When you wake in the morning and your mind turns to your Father, it is Jesus that draws you and pleads with you to get on your knees and to pray to the Father. There is nothing in you or in me that desires God of ourselves. And this is a very hard thing for for human nature to accept. But it's important that we start our 10 days of prayer with these thoughts. That We are not actually seeking God. God is seeking us. In being drawn to this time of prayer, it is God the Father through Jesus who is calling us, who is speaking to us and saying, "My sons, my daughters, come to me. Come to me and I will help you." And it reminds me of the story of the lost sheep. The sheep was lost and it knew it was lost, but it wasn't looking for the shepherd. It didn't know where to look. It was in the dark. And we all have been in the dark. We all have been worshippers of a God that destroys at some point, or maybe some of you haven't, but most of us have. Many of us have believed in a three-in-one God. Many of us have believed that God demanded the death of his son. We've been lost, lost in darkness and confusion. Many of us have thought that in having the writings of the spirit of prophecy and the writings of Jones and Wagner, that we were saved. We were safe from delusion. But how wrong we have been. We were lost. And Jesus came seeking for us. And over the last couple of decades, for many of us, or even longer, the Lord Jesus has been teaching us. I spoke about this in my recent presentation, "Lord, give us your spirit." If you watch that presentation, you will see that there are two parts to the prayer. There is first an earnest praying for light, and then Jesus gives the light to his children. Many come out from underneath it and resist it. But those that accept the light, those that embrace all, they gather up all the fragments of bread, they then begin to pray, "Father, give us your spirit." And then there was a great outpouring of the Spirit that brought love, joy, and peace, and much light. And it is peace that we are seeking, wisdom, agape. When someone strikes us on the one cheek, that we turn the other cheek. That when people say hurtful things, we don't rise up in anger. We stay calm. When we hear bad things that other people are doing, we don't criticize them. We pray for them. We plead with the Father to help them. These are the things that we desire. And as we are learning about the Father through all of the light that has been shown us, we see that we fall far short of the glory of God, and we feel sad. I want to read to you from Christ Object Lessons, where Ellen White talks about the lost sheep. And this is on page 188, yes, paragraph 2. When Jesus is searching for the sheep, this is what it says. With what relief he hears in the, that's Jesus, he hears in the distance its first faint cry. Following the sound, he climbs the steepest heights. He goes to the very edge of the precipice at the risk of his own life. Thus he searches while the cry grows fainter, tells him that his sheep is ready to die. At last his effort is rewarded, the lost is found. Then he does not scold it because it has caused him so much trouble. And I'm so thankful for those words. He doesn't scold us, even though we have caused him much trouble, to save us. And as we know, Jesus has endured much more of the cross, 120 more years than he needed to because of our sinfulness. He does not drive it with a whip. He doesn't use force. He does not even try to lead it home. And this is what I find quite moving. In his joy, he takes the trembling creature upon his shoulders. If it is bruised and wounded, he gathers it in his arms. And listen to this. Pressing it close to his bosom, that the warmth of his own heart may give it life. The warmth of his own heart can give us life. And that gave me tremendous comfort, because of what the scriptures say. I want to come back to this when I was reading, Christ is the source of every right impulse. That led me to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And suddenly the tense jumped out at me, the present tense, not past, but present tense. As it is written, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. It doesn't say there was none righteous until we, the Father of Love movement, came along. No, it doesn't say that. There is none righteous today. None of us are righteous in ourselves. We have nothing in ourselves. And then it says, there is no one who understands. If we have any understanding, it is because Jesus has given it to us. It hasn't come of ourselves. It's not because of our intellect. It's not because of our wisdom that we know these things, because there is none who understand. And even with all the things that Jesus taught us over the last number of years, still we don't understand. We can't grasp all the complexities of the great controversy, all the things that are at stake. We don't understand. And then it says, there is none who seeks after God. And that's the point. I sent you an invitation to join this group, and you've responded. You've come. But it was Christ that drew you. He is the one that called you. He is the one that is seeking us. We have spent several years writing out the foundations of this message. A number of you have worked with me to write out the key points of our faith. Many of you have translated this message into various languages. And I would like to say that with the completion of the book, One Mediator, that all of the key points of the message are in place, excluding whatever prophetic elements in Daniel and Revelation that God has yet to show us. But from what we know of the Adventist message and what would be the culmination of the sealing message, I believe all the main pieces are now in place. And this is why now the message, the call goes out. Seek my face. Seek my spirit. We need earnestly to do this. And if we feel an earnestness inside of us, there is none that seek after God. It is Christ that seeks after us. The more earnest we feel, the more evidence it is that Christ is drawing us, that Christ is bringing us into his bosom, that we may receive life and from the warmth of his heart, because our hearts are cold. As we've walked this path, many have left, many have rejected, and our hearts are sore and sad because of so many people that we love. Many of you may not even verbalize how much sorrow that you feel. Some days I'm numb. I can't even speak of the sorrow I feel. And for those of us raised in the Adventist Church or the Reform Movement that have been separated, we really feel the sorrow to see where our church is going. And it seems for so many people, we try and share, and people are not listening. I had a discussion with someone today from the Adventist Church, and I can tell that they're not really interested in the character of God. They're satisfied with the belief that justice demands punishment. And I tried to say, but consider this. And you can tell they're just not listening. And we've all experienced this many times. Some of you are in isolated areas. You don't have many people to fellowship with. You are quite alone. And to accept this message cuts you off from friendship, fellowship with others. And my prayers are especially with you, that Jesus will comfort you, because you know this is the truth. You know that this is the message. This is the fourth angel. And I just pray that, as Ellen White expressed it, I think it's in these words, Jesus is enough. To know Jesus as he is. What else do you need? What else do you want? Some days when I'm feeling alone, when I've been cut off from someone, I can go to Jesus and get warmth from his heart so that I can continue and keep going and keep going forward. As I was meditating on what to share with you, these thoughts came to me. Christ is the source of every right impulse. And that being the case, I am deeply troubled by when I observe behavior in other people that is not in harmony with this message. When I see people resisting the light, when I see people willfully going in the wrong direction, or being rebellious, or being defiant, I find this temptation to irritation and frustration. It may simply be the roll of an eye. It may be an expression of breathing hard. Ah. It may not be anything at all. But I find that if I believe that Jesus is the source of every right impulse, then I must be patient with a brother or sister who is not walking according to the light as they ought to, when they manifest weakness of character, when they don't do the things that they ought to do, or worse still, they twist your words and they would attack you and seek to undermine you. When these things happen, if I get irritated, I am forgetting that Christ is the source of every right impulse. And that's the point that I really pray comes home to us. I'm praying to have all judgment, all irritation removed. And I thank many of you for your prayers. Obviously, in my position, I'm dealing with hundreds of people around the world as we navigate translation, meetings. It's astounding to me that we are heading towards 1,200 translations of our publications, 1,200 translations. It's astounding. Again, Christ is the source of every right impulse. He is the one that is doing this. He is the one that's making this happen. But with all the people I'm dealing with, sometimes if someone is dragging the chain or going a bit slow or rebelling or resisting, it's tempting to want to shortcut and tell people very directly what is right and what is wrong. And all of us in varying degrees as leaders face this situation. we had to deal with people that don't understand, don't have a good grasp of the message. And it requires patience on our part. And this is the part where I say to my father, you taught me 25 years ago that Christ is the source of every right impulse. And why am I still getting frustrated? And at this particular point, I would have one of the best observations of the movement as I deal with many of you in different countries. And I'm aware of some of the relational challenges that you are all facing. As I look at different personalities, as I look at those who are now coming through into the message, many whom are not grounded in the foundational principles, but are excited by the character of God. Many who have not had to face being disfellowshipped from the church and hold firm to their convictions without becoming angry and aggressive. Those that haven't passed through these experiences may be quicker to assume things or mix principles of our message with others that preach a similar, what seems to be a similar message. And as I was talking to the Lord the other night about these things and what I see on the horizon, and where I see that we are going, it is impossible for us to finish this work. We can't do it. It's not possible. With our frailties, with our weaknesses, with our immaturities, with the opposition that we face, with the defections that we are experiencing, we won't be able to do this. It's tempting to go into the old covenant, and I'll talk about this in another presentation. We might say with all of the message that we have, we are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. We could establish a creed. We could set rules of order and discipline in an old covenant context, and we could make a name for ourselves, and we would be further from Jesus than we could imagine. That is not the path that we're being called to. We're being called to acknowledge that we can do nothing, that completing this mission of sharing the character of God is utterly impossible for us to do, but that it will be done. The earth will be lightened with the glory of God. When I struggle in faith, I go to Revelation 18 and I say to my Father, the earth is going to be lighted with your glory. You have said it. I believe it. And I just want to listen to your voice and do the things that you ask me to do. That's all that our Father has asked. Shema, O Israel, listen. Listen to me. And as I've spoken with some of you, speaking to Daniel Bernhardt and some others We felt the call to prayer. We felt the need. There is so much work to be done. We could bury ourselves in it 24 hours a day. But now is a time for prayer. Prayer for ourselves. Prayer for each other. Prayer for unity. Confession of sin. And clarity in the message. And knowing what we are to do, how we are to deal with complex situations. Where do we go? Who do we talk to? When it's sometimes, how do I put bread on the table? How do I feed my family? When I'm cut off from most of the church or a community, there's very few. These are all the things that we are called to pray about. I want to read you something from, I did this in the presentation, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And this is from my life today. My life today, page 58, paragraph 2. It says, instead of being worked by the Holy Spirit, many even among those engaged in the solemn work of God are barring the way against its holy, life-giving influences. Now notice what Ellen White says next. What is it that bars the way? They freely criticize and judge their brethren, and yet they do not realize the necessity of earnestly looking into the divine mirror to see what spirit they themselves are manifesting. Their defects of character they regard as virtues and cling to them. It's easy for us to look at other father and son ministries and see their weaknesses. It's easy for us to put up stuff and say, look what this brother is saying, and to criticize them. But this actually bars us from receiving the Holy Spirit. My plea for all of us is that we not hold up, if I can put it this way, let's not put up videos of other ministries and criticize them. Having been subjected to this many, many times myself, it's not a nice experience. God doesn't call us to lift up people, other people, and then condemn them or speak against them or say, look what this brother is doing. This is not the work that we are called to. We're called to pray for all men, to love all men, and to carry our cross. And that's something I need more of the Spirit of Jesus to do. Then it says this, let there be a work of reformation and repentance. I certainly need reformation and repentance. Then it says, let all seek for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As with the disciples after the ascension of Christ, it may require several days of earnestly seeking God and putting away sin. Several in English means 6 or 7 days. And of course, for the disciples after the ascension, it was 10 days. And we are setting aside 10 days. And I might say, several days? Is that all that it would take? Several days? Not several weeks or months or years? Several days. Within this 10 days, we could see a complete transformation of our movement. But will we listen? Who are the people I need to talk to say sorry to confess to? Well, confess, yeah, confess your faults. Ask God to forgive your sins. Confess your faults one to another. And so, what I'm praying, asking us all to do in these 10 days, as much as you are able, in the time between 8 and 9, if you have a local group at the morning sacrifice time, gather the local group and pray together as a group. For those of you who are ministers, in between the morning and the evening sacrifice, study Steps to Christ and meditate and pray. You may want to call a brother. It's hard to stay focused praying alone for many hours unless you're fasting. And some of you, and I would suggest during this time that we eat only enough to keep functioning and doing the things that we need to do to set our focus on the spiritual rather than the physical. So let's not indulge in large meals, small meals, simple to digest meals, as it will assist us in this work. But between the morning sacrifice time and the evening sacrifice time, that we pray by ourselves, go for a walk in the forest. Talk to your father, find a retired spot, plead with the father for the spirit, plead for each other, let's pray for each other. And then in the evening sacrifice time, again, come together with whoever you can and pray. And then after the evening sacrifice, again, continue, particularly for ministers, those that have the time to pray. Pray for the Adventist Church, pray for the Reformed Church, pray for the context, pray for our children, pray for each other, our parents, our grandchildren, and let's hang on to the Lord. Several days. Because God is more willing to give to us. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Why do we have to agonize in prayer for a long period of time? Why doesn't he just give it to us now? Because we forget that Christ is the source of every right impulse. If we have to plead with God for many hours over many days and experience as if nothing is changing, it seems like I'm praying and praying and nothing is happening. It's important to cause our sin to abound, that grace may much more abound. God is drawing us out now, that we put everything else aside and that we focus on praying and believing that if we ask for bread, he will not give us a stone. And if we ask for an egg, he will not give us a scorpion. And that is why we need to agonize with God in prayer. I think you're the same as me, but I have many relatives, cousins. It seems impossible to reach them. I have no idea. And I'm just so distraught inside as I think about them, and they're all around me, and they're just not interested in anything I have to say. Or they don't want to talk to me, or if they do, they want to talk about things in the world. And I'm just praying for a deeper experience. We've come to that moment. I know we all have family and friends. But now that we've come to this time, it means that God is waiting to pour out his spirit on us. But he needs to make sure that there's nothing of self left, because if he pours his spirit out on us in abundance, in great abundance, and there's still some of self there, it will destroy us. And he can't do this. He can't allow that to happen. So this period, I'm going to speak at this time every, is my night, your morning, your afternoon, just as a time of meditation and refocus. But it's up to us individually to pray in our groups, reach out to a brother, pray for someone. The Spirit will guide us. You don't need any man to teach you what to do through the whole day of praying. Our Father, through his Son, will teach you by their Spirit. And this whole process, this 10 days, I'm praying will culminate in the 10 days between trumpets and atonement, that we will revisit this so that when the trumpet sounds at the new moon of the seventh month, we will already be in a prayerful state of mind, and that we will be focused on coming to the Day of Atonement, ready to be receive the outpouring of the Spirit, and then into tabernacles, so that we can go from place to place with our faces lighted up. That is my prayer, and that we can be spiritually prepared for the collapse of our economies, the change of this world order, who knows what's going to happen? We don't know. But the only way to prepare is to be ready spiritually and to trust our Father, to cease all complaining, all complaints, all irritation, all frustration, all to be replaced with peace. And this will be our test. And like I read, it may require several days. That's all. And the chief barring point, the chief thing that stood in the way, was a spirit of criticism. This needs to be gone from our vocabulary, from our language, criticism, to be replaced with love, forbearance, and carrying our cross. So I hope you see the comfort in this call to prayer, this seeking after God. There is only one being in the universe that seeks after God, and that is Jesus. And if you have that spirit in you, you will seek after God. But Christ is the source of every right impulse. And by his spirit, he is now calling us. And coming back to the story of the lost sheep, I took comfort in the thought that Jesus will carry us home. Because as I look from my feeble position, we're never going to finish this work. Never. In our own strength, it's never going to happen. And the sooner we realize that, the better. But our Father will lift us, and he will do through us, and his Son will do through us what we cannot do. So let us begin this time of prayer. And this 10 days is the beginning. I'm hoping that if we have a tremendous time, which I believe we will, that we'll keep going until we come to the festivals, until we come to trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles, and that we'll meditate on steps to Christ. We'll shut out all media. I haven't watched any news for 2 or 3 weeks. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I don't know anything about what's going on out there, but I know what's going on in the heavenly sanctuary. And I know what my Father wants to do in terms of not everything he wants to do, but what he wants to do for me now. And the King's hand is in, heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. I don't need to know all the details of what political leaders are doing. I don't need to listen to news media. I need to read my Bible and pray for you, for me, for my family, for your families. That's what I need to do. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. Thank you to those that will watch a bit later. As I said, you can share this link. It's unlisted with friends that would be interested, but not on social media. I don't want this being put out on openly and in the public arena. It's just for those who are responding to the Gideon's call to the 300. And so I would like to close in prayer, and I hope for the translators I wasn't speaking too fast. And maybe in future, if I do, you can let me know. But I'd like to pray for you all and close with a prayer as we seek our Father. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for calling us by your Spirit. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. I want to pray for my brothers and sisters. I want to pray that you would send your comfort to them. Impress upon their hearts that in them dwells no good thing, that they, like me, are no better than anyone else, and therefore we have no right to be irritated at anyone, at any time, in any place. Father, this requires a full surrender of self. The old justice system is so hard to let go. When we see people do things that aren't right, it's as natural as breathing to internally judge and condemn. I ask for your Spirit, Father, to take all this away from us. I pray for the leaders, the translators, the Bible workers. May you fill them with your peace during this new moon Sabbath, new moon and Sabbath. May they have joy. And Father, give them the spirit of prayer. As your disciples said to you, Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray like you. In fact, Lord Jesus, pray in us and through us. May we be the visible priesthood of your invisible priesthood. May we only pray your prayers, as in you are the one inspiring us with the prayers that we utter, and that we express your expressions, not speaking our own words or thinking our own thoughts. And Father, we ask this because we have glimpsed your true cross, your suffering, how we want your suffering to end. Please forgive us for our failures, our lack of comprehension, our unwillingness to surrender character flaws and traits, our self-sufficiency. Lord, we want to give all of this up. And I pray now that you would pour upon us your Spirit. Lord, give us the spirit of repentance. We pray for our groups, our churches, the conflicts that are going on, the challenges. Lord, please heal all of these things and help us. Help us to know how to prepare. Help us to know how to speak to our relatives and church members. Help us, Lord, to just hold on to you, that we can stay in your bosom and receive the warmth of your heart as you carry us to the kingdom. Thank you for hearing our prayer. And we look forward to coming again together tomorrow. Draw us out in prayer today, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I pray that was a blessing, and let's be excited about what our Father is going to do for us. Let's cooperate with him and let him work through us, pray through us, bless us. And I just want to say thank you to all of you. In different ways, you have blessed me, you've encouraged me, you've prayed for me, and I pray for you. I pray that all of us will be together in the heavenly city, and we will praise God and the Lamb, that we'll be part of the 144,000, and that we'll follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So I send you love in the Spirit. We've just hit on 1 hour, so it's time to end. Thank you for your time, and we'll catch you again tomorrow. God bless for now.
Of the land. day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. The trumpet in Zion, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord.